And welcome to this week's edition of Legal Line, right here on the Legal Line Network. This is Bob Pittman, and we try each week to demystify the law, translate the legalese, and hopefully point you in the right direction with regard to your legal problems. We do it each week and hope to help you with questions you've got, maybe have a guest or two from time to time talking about different issues, different areas of the law. The mysterious realm of the law is what we enter each and every week, trying to get you on track, trying to get myself on track, I think, sometimes, too. I am an attorney, and I'm that attorney who makes house calls, and, of course, we're making the ultimate in house calls when we do the program each week from bobpittman.com. So be sure to tune in. Give us a call during the week. Give us a call during the program. Email us. You can always email questions to Jeff. It's jeff@bobpittman.com. And we'll be sure to get your questions on the air. We'll have some announcements coming up in the coming weeks concerning guests and programs and all kinds of fun stuff that's coming up. Looking at a couple of remote broadcasts that we'll be doing in the early part of the year, which should be lots of fun. Lots of fun. All right, hey, we got Diane with us this morning. Actually, it's not morning anymore, is it?
Well, it depends where in the world
depends
you
on
are.
Where you are. That's right. You could be in Afghanistan. I don't know what time it is in Afghanistan right now. I have to look at that world clock or something and try to come up. The dateline always gets me. I think I don't want to know how it works. There are certain things in life, I think, that are best left kind of a mystery, and I don't know. Keep gaining a day or losing a day sometimes when you, depends on what direction you go, I guess. I don't know. All right, so we had a couple of questions come in, I think.
Yeah, I had a quick thought on the top of my head suddenly. You know Gary Ridgway's attorney that you interviewed?
Right, Mark Prothero. His interview is up online right now.
Yeah, I wonder what he would think with more bodies showing possibly and...
Yeah,
you know, but if people are interested, they can go listen to that interview because it's quite interesting.
Interesting interview. I mean, it's
and it doesn't seem to be going away.
No,
more bodies showing.
No,
up.
There is, and that is an interesting question because part of his deal was getting life in prison as opposed to the death penalty, and I believe the body that was found recently is one that he had identified, but he wasn't actually convicted of that particular murder because the evidence wasn't there. So it's sort of an interesting area. We'll have to follow that, and maybe we can get Mark back on to discuss that, although if it becomes an actual case, I guess he'll have to be a little bit careful.
Right.
But at some point, we'll be able to get some more details on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the criminal area, criminal law area is, well, all areas of law are interesting, but the criminal law area is, is always fascinating,
yeah,
I think. And
yeah.
There's so much at stake, and you watch the cases in the newspaper and on the TV, and, of course, the poor newspaper, I fear we're losing our newspapers, at least the old way that we've always read them, which is on paper.
On paper, yeah.
It's kind of going away. I mean, you look I don't know whether they'll survive, and will they survive online, or do we just end up doing other things? I mean, you look at regular radio, and regular radio has kind of faded, and what we're doing now, the internet radio, has come alive and is moving in lots of interesting directions. So.
Yeah.
We'll follow the story.
Yes, and in the meantime, you can go listen to that Bobcast.
That's right.
Well, we had a question from Leon in Seattle. He wants to know what Congress just did to the estate tax. What is the amount that is exempt from estate tax?
Isn't those fun words?
Yeah.
Estate tax. State tax.
State
estate tax. Federal estate tax. There are all kinds of taxes out there. And, you know, we had kind of a gift from Congress recently at the end of December 2010. Now we're moving into 2011. But it's been up in the air for some time as to what was going to happen to the federal estate tax. Last year... for almost all of the year until right up to the end, there was technically no federal estate tax. Now, that changed when we got to about the middle of December, and Congress came in and the president signed off on it. You remember hearing about the so-called Bush tax cuts and so forth, the 10-year routine. Well, part of that, I mean, the big part that everybody talked about was the income tax area. But the part that is more interesting to me, at least, is the estate tax area. And in that bill was a provision to basically give us an estate tax for 2010. So the default, if you will, is that the estate tax is there for 2010 and now for 2011 and 2012 at a $5 million exemption level. So you may recall George Steinbrenner died during 2010 and had a, I don't even know what the size of the estate is. I assume it's hundreds of millions of dollars, if not reaching up into the billion level. I don't know. But very, very large estate. If they were to do nothing, they would have a $5 million estate tax automatically. But they're allowed to elect out of it. So it's a weird year, 2010. If you have a large estate, you've passed away during 2010, of course, you're not going to do it if you actually passed away, unless you're really communicating over the Internet in new ways that go beyond even Facebook, I guess. I don't know, Heaven Book or something, I guess. I don't know what it is. But if you had a family member die during 2010 and they had a very large estate, then you would probably be choosing to opt out of the estate tax. So the default is there's a $5 million exemption, and above the $5 million level, there's a 35% tax rate. If you had died during 2010, let's say with $100 million or $1 billion, something like that, something, you know, far in excess of the $5 million, then you would opt out. So you have to affirmatively come in and actually elect out of that estate tax. And that means that you would pay no federal estate tax. So George Steinbrenner's estate, I assume, will elect out of the estate tax for 2010. And the price, if you will, for opting out is the loss of something called step-up in basis. And in a nutshell, what that means, let's give an example. Let's say that I buy Ford stock, let's say, at $1 a share. Maybe I caught it when it was down to $1. And let's say I die and it's $16 a share. Well, if I had sold the stock the day before I died, I would have a gain of $15 a share that I'd have to pay capital gains tax on. If I wait until the day I die, or you wait till the day after I die to sell it, then it's just like I bought it for the $16, so there's no capital gains tax. So the step-up in basis is quite nice. We've had it for many, many years. If you elect out of the estate tax for 2010, like George Steinbrenner's estate I'm sure will do, then they will not receive a full step-up in basis, but they also will not pay estate tax. Now, for the rest of us, you know, all of the regular folks out there, what we're left with, and let's assume you didn't die during 2010. If you're listening to this, you probably didn't. So if we're now in 2011, we all have a federal estate tax exemption automatically of $5 million. That means that if you die with less than $5 million in estate value, there's no federal estate tax. If you are a couple and you're using both of your exemptions, and there's some interesting new rules we'll talk about probably on a later program, then you have two of those $5 million exemptions, and you'd have $10 million as a couple to pass along without any federal estate tax. So lots of good news. There is a really interesting thing that happened, and that's with the gift tax. A lot of people either don't know or kind of forget about the fact that we have a gift tax and have had for a long, long time. If you think about it, you may have heard about the ability of people to give away $10,000 a year per person and pay no tax. It's actually gift tax. I don't know if any if you remember that. That's the gift tax. That's part of the gift tax area. And we've had for many years a $10,000 exemption. Actually, for a long time, we had a $3,000 exemption, then a $10,000. It's now up to $13,000. So I can give $13,000 per year to any number of individuals, 10, 15, 20, 100 people. They don't have to be related. They can be strangers. They can be friends. And I don't have to pay any gift tax, and the recipient doesn't pay any income tax. That's the one exemption level that we've had for a long time, $13,000. It's been going up, adjusted for inflation, every few years, not every year. And then we had the ability, in addition to the $13,000, to give $1 million. So if I wanted to give somebody $1 million, $1,013,000, I could do it. The $13,000 would be my annual exclusion. The $1 million would be my one-time $1 million lifetime exemption. That just went up to $5 million. This is really great news for people with larger estates, because they can give away during life up to $5 million, way more than I could give away, and pay no tax. And they get rid of not only the $5 million or some portion of it, but they get rid of all the appreciation and the tax on the appreciation that would occur after they gave it away. So let's say you take someone 65 years old. They're going to live, say, to 85. They give away a couple million dollars at 65. If they had kept that $2 million in their estate, let's say 20 years down the road, maybe that would be worth $5 million. Well, that's part of their estate, the $5 million. If they gave it away when they were 65, then it may still be worth $5 million when they die, but it was given away 20 years ago, so it's in the other person's estate. It's in maybe the kid's estate. So you get rid of all that appreciation, too. It's usually good, in other words, to give away as much as you can, as soon as you can, but one caveat, I guess, and that is a lot of us say, well, wow, if we give it all away, well, it's gone, and now what am I going to do if I need it? Or maybe I'm worried about what the kids are going to do with that $2 million. So you put strings on it, and there are certain legal strings we can put on gifts so that, in the case of parents and kids, parents get to control what the kids do with that money during their lifetime, and sometimes they can even have some really strong strings that survive even death. I mean, that's you got to be a real expert to be able to get that string out. And I've got a ball of that string in my lower left-hand drawer at my desk, and so we've got some of that death string that we can use if we really want to put some strings on the money. So anyway, now, along with the estate tax, you've got to think about the state of Washington, if you're in the state, or whatever state you're in. Find out if they have an estate tax of their own, and Washington has one. Our exemption level in Washington is $2 million. So this is where it gets to be fun. You have a $2 million exemption for the state and a $5 million exemption for the feds. And we have our $5 million exemption scheduled for 2 years. It's set to expire again. I think it's a bunch of attorneys who are doing this just for fun. Because we get to work with this, and 2 years down the road, we get to wonder what Congress is going to do. I think that was the only way they could do it, is to extend everything for the 2 years and put in that estate tax routine. I will say, I think that we need to watch the gifting. I think that the gift amount, which is now $5 million, could be reduced. Congress has traditionally, and the IRS, wanted to keep the ability to make gifts lower than the death exemption. So I would watch that one. I think if you have a larger estate, it wouldn't hurt to get some of those dollars out during the next 2 years. So lots of fun, lots more details. There are a lot more details to the estate tax, and maybe we'll cover that on a future program. But there is a lot of good news right now on the estate tax front.
Great. Well, here's an email from Candace from Marysville. She is asking, what on earth is HIPAA or HIPPO? The doctor's office wants me to give them some names. Do you know what that's all about?
Okay, well, the clue there is the doctor's office. That tells me it's not HIPPO, but actually HIPAA, H-I-P-A-A. And I think it's really confusing. There is a law that, federal law, that became effective several years ago. And it's HIPAA. That's the, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. Yikes, what does that mean? Well, who cares what those words mean? But the gist of it is it has to do with privacy. And so what, and it kind of makes sense. If you think about a doctor's office and think about all your health care records, all your information about you, you want that private. I mean, most of us are very private in general, and especially about medical things. And so what HIPAA does for us is to say, okay, we need to let our medical or healthcare providers know who is authorized to get our protected health information. So I might want to have spouse and children have the ability to obtain my protected health information, my health information. Let's imagine I'm unconscious in the hospital. Well, I would want certain family members to be able to get my information. I might not want all family members to be able to get my health information. I wouldn't want strangers, but there might be family members I don't want to be able to, get in and get my health information. So what the law does is say, okay, you need to tell your healthcare providers and healthcare friends who is authorized to get your information. So what we'll find is we'll have a combination of a healthcare power of attorney where we're naming somebody on our power of attorney who is authorized to make healthcare decisions for us. And then we will also name the individuals, and the person on the power of attorney would no doubt be one of them, but name the individuals who are authorized to get our health information. This is critical that we make sure this is done. What I usually recommend to all of us, unless we're going to the doctor all the time, is every time you go to see a doctor, when you go to check in, just make it a habit every time. That way you won't forget to do it. If you do it every time, ask the person when you check in, do you have all my HIPAA privacy information up to date? Do you have the names of the people I want to get, to be allowed to get my health information? Just ask. And they'll look, they'll bang away at the keyboard a second, and they'll bring up your information, and they'll say, yep, we've got it. You've named your brother and sister and spouse and kids and blah, blah, blah. Or, no, we don't have anything. Or, you know what, that expired. Or maybe they've got the wrong person down there. Maybe they've got somebody you don't want to have on that list. So if you make it a habit to ask every time you go, chances are it'll be up to date and current when you really need it. So very, very important to have your HIPAA privacy. If you call it HIPAA, it probably will work too. But it's it's kind of a HIPAA of a law, I guess. But it actually is HIPAA, and very, very important. And it's a good reminder then to make sure you have a current, up to date power of attorney for both healthcare and financial stuff. If you're laid up in the hospital for a while, you want someone to be able to get in and pay your bills and take care of all the things that are going on in your life since you can't do it. But be really careful who you name. If you name the wrong person, I always say, the person will end up either in South Tacoma or Mexico, depending on how much money was in the account. And I guess if it's South Tacoma, if you're living in Tacoma and it's in South Tacoma, maybe it's not so bad. Pretty wild. All right. Any other questions this week?
Well, I had a quick one. One, we didn't win the lottery.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really?
What advice?
They just had that big one.
Yeah, that's
like
the one I'm talking
about. $355 million.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. What a headache. I mean.
Yeah. So, give me one of those headaches quick.
What advice do you have for the Washington State winner? Because
one of them is from Washington State.
That's right.
They're splitting it. Idaho. Someone in Idaho and someone in Washington. You're right.
Yes.
So, boy, I guess the first thing I would say is do nothing for a little bit and kind of gather your advisors around you. Get a, sounds self-serving, but get a good estate planning attorney. Get in contact with a good estate planning attorney right away. and sit down and talk about things that you need to consider. And, you know, it's going to be overwhelming because that's just, for most people, almost everybody I know, that's a pretty phenomenal amount of money. And you have some decisions that you have to make that are irrevocable. I guess the first one, and I haven't won a lottery, so it used to be, though, that you had to choose between an all-cash payment and then, I think, annual payments over some number of years. And so some advice from a financial advisor, unbiased advice, which is a little harder to come by, but unbiased advice from a financial advisor would make a lot of sense to say, okay, how should I even accept it? How should I receive this payout? Is it better to do lump sum? Is it better to do annual payments? What is best? And everybody's going to have a slightly different answer, I think, depending on their own family circumstances. So gather the trusted advisors. Take your time. As I understand it, there are lots of sharks out there. I mean, we've all seen them. And I think the sharks come out with regard to lottery winners. And that information is pretty public in terms of who has won a lottery. I think it has to be. I don't think to my knowledge, there's no way to keep it private. So the lottery winners are going to be known, and the bad people, I'm afraid, are going to be coming to try to visit you. They're going to be calling you. They may come to your door. Really bad people might turn up, too, and that's one thing you got to watch out for, too. And then people who are all of a sudden your best friends are going to show up.
It's friends and relatives.
And the relatives, that's right. And the relatives, relatives you never thought you had or you didn't remember anymore because you haven't seen them in decades, you know, are going to turn up as your long-lost friends and relatives, you know. People from some of these websites that check on your genealogy or something, you'll be finding out that you're related to all kinds of people, you know. And so, you know, you want to really be trying to protect yourself to probably not make any major decisions other than the payout option. I guess that has to be made. But not making any really dramatic, life-changing decisions for a while. It may be that you have to do something in terms of your living arrangement, maybe. And I don't know how bad it gets. I'd be interested to talk to a lottery winner, how bad it gets in terms of people coming after you. And that's something that, of course, if you really are, if you owe a whole bunch of money, if you were on the verge of bankruptcy before you won the lottery, you will have some people coming after you for their creditor claims. You won't be able to declare bankruptcy, obviously. But I think gathering the advisors, really thinking through your options, taking time, and not letting it overwhelm you, although that's going to be hard. And I think the inclination might even be to give a bunch of it away, maybe even for some really good charitable stuff. And I would say hold off for a while. Really think about it. It may be, if it's a large enough one like this one, one of the fun things you can do, but don't do it tomorrow kind of thing, is to set up your own family foundation and have some fun with some charitable stuff. And that may be a way, I think, to help soften the blow of receiving so much money. If you are dedicating a portion of it, of course, there are certain tax breaks that you'll get. You can dedicate quite a bit of it to charity. And the idea with the Family Foundation is you're dedicating it to charity, but you're not just writing a one-time check and then it's over. You're going to be putting money in your own family foundation. You get a tax break when you put that money in, and you need to, again, talk to your tax advisor to see what kind of a break you end up with, but a pretty dramatic one. And now it's sitting there, and every year you get the fun of, and I think it's really fun, of distributing a minimum of 5% typically of that amount that's in there every year. And, of course, hopefully it grows every year too, right? But you're going to be distributing it, and you get to go out and have a lot of fun trying to find really good charities who are happy to accept some of the money, and maybe programs that really mean something to you, or maybe new programs that you can help them to devise and come up with. You might have for example, let's say you said, gee, there's a neat program that I would really like to see done. Well, you can get to a charity that would be maybe likely to be able to do that, work with them to set up that program, and then guess what? You get to write the check to fund the program, and it comes out of your family foundation. What fun. I mean, it can really end up being a lifelong process, and for your family members, rather than just passing down millions and millions of dollars in cash to family members, maybe you're going to be passing down the keys to the charity, to the family foundation, and teaching them while you're around still to be charitable, and letting them take over the family foundation when you're gone. So I think if you combine some advisors with you, some charitable routine and charitable help, but just sit on things for a while, take your time, I think you can survive it. But we've heard so many stories, and I know there are some good ones out there too. Of course, what we hear are the bad stories, but we hear so many stories of people who have fallen apart. Their lives have been destroyed almost by the instant wealth of a lottery winning. That makes me think, too, about what we leave behind in our wills and our trusts for our family members, too. You know, forget winning the lottery for a moment. Let's say when you die, you're leaving your assets to your family, to your kids, let's say. Well, think about how you're leaving your assets to your kids. Are you going to hurt them, and will it hurt them to just leave it as a lump sum? Should you be thinking about how that gets left to them so that you don't hurt them? So, because that's kind of their mini lottery, perhaps, is when you die and leave the assets to your family. In a way, they've kind of won a little bit of a lottery. Of course, it depends on what's in your estate. it might not be much of a lottery. It might be like, picking up a couple of bucks on Keno or something at one of the casinos. I don't know. But I think take your time, get some trusted advisors. One way, by the way, to help find some financial advisors is to go to the website for the Society of Financial Service Providers, which is financialpro.org. And that'll get you to someone who is a credentialed professional, someone who is a member of the Society of Financial Service Professionals, adheres to their code of ethics. And there are other folks out there who are good too, but that's one way to get in and locate a professional who is subscribing to some pretty serious ethical code, or to a serious ethical code, and hopefully doing more likely to do a good job for you. Talk to people you know and trust. Get in maybe to see one of the trust companies. We'll have a show coming up in the future on selecting a trustee, trust company. It's something that you want to think about. And then, of course, get in and do your estate planning as well. So be sure to stop by bobpittman.com during the week. Send us an email. You can send the email to Jeff. Jeff at bobpittman.com. Plan to give us a call during the program. We always enjoy talking about your legal questions. Have a couple of upcoming guest appearances on the old-fashioned radio coming up in January. So I'll post something at the website so that if you still have the old-fashioned radio, remember the old little dial? And I know, I have one too. But if you still have an old radio, you can tune in. I'll be appearing on a couple of programs during the month of January, and I'll try to keep you posted on the website as to my whereabouts. We are looking at doing some remote broadcasts of the program. That'll be coming up probably not January, but a little bit later as we move into 2011. We'll have some fun remote broadcasts that we'll be doing too. But be sure to check in with us, check in with bobpittman.com. Drop by the Facebook site and sign on there. It's Legal Line with Bob Pittman. Just search for that under Facebook and join in with us. We like to see folks there, too. Facebook is quite the phenomenon, and we want to embrace it as well, right? All right. So we're going to say farewell for this week. Wish you well, and recommend that you stay in control of your legal affairs, at least until the next time we talk. This is Bob Pittman for Legal Line, right here on the Legal Line Network.